Good morning. This is a meeting of the Utah State Tax Commission. It is shortly after 9 o'clock a.m. on Thursday, October 12th, 2023. This meeting is being held both remotely and in person. Myself, John L. Valentine, Commission Chair, and I'm also joined by Rebecca L. Rockwell, Commissioner, as the anchors for this meeting. We have members of the Commission online and members of the staff online. We may even have some public. We'll have to look and see if here for a minute. So let's make certain we have a good record. Let's have the commissioners who are online first indicate their participation in the meeting.
Good morning. I'm Michael Cragen, Tax Commissioner.
Commissioner Jennifer Prescott.
Thank you so much. And we also have in the room, if failed to recognize, our Executive Director, Scott Smith, and Shantae Asper, the Administrative Assistant for the Tax Commission. Also, I have present in the room. Why don't you go ahead? They can pick you up on the microphone. Go ahead and indicate.
Mike Lee, Senior Director of Customer Services.
Thank you.
Monty Roberts, Director of the DMV.
Thank you. Okay, let's go to those online. Starting with, looks like we have Danny. Why don't you start off?
Danny Lytle, Senior Director of Property and Miscellaneous Tax.
Frank Hale, Senior Director of Tax and Revenue.
Deanna Herring, Deputy Executive Director.
Jason Gardner, Director of Policy Planning and Public Affairs.
Heidi Riley, Finance Director.
Alex Hirosovic, Commission Economist.
Josh Nielsen, Director of Property Tax.
See no other participants. Are there any other participants online?
Yes. Looks like there's a Chris Stitt.
Chris Stitt, Legislative Research and General Counsel.
Thank you, Chris. Also, somebody else? I don't see it on my spread. Jay Walker? Mr. Walker, would you just introduce yourself?
Yes, Janelle Walker. Morgan County Interim Assessor.
Thank you so much. Good to meet you face to face. Anyone else on? I don't see anybody else on that list. Okay, we'll go ahead and start our meeting to call the meeting to order. First item on the agenda is the public comment period for individuals or groups wishing to address the commission for up to 3 minutes on matters not related to a pending or reasonably imminent appeal to the tax commission. Is there anybody who would like to take advantage of that opportunity at this time? Hearing none, go to the next item on the agenda. The next item on the agenda is the commission approval of the minutes of our August 31st, 2023 meeting. And I recognize Commissioner Freskas for that motion.
Thank you, Commissioner. I move to approve the commission meeting minutes of August 31st, 2023.
Thank you. Motion's in order. Debate on the motion? Hearing none, I'll place the motion. Those in favor of the motion say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
I rule it passes unanimously. The motion passes and the minutes are approved. Next item on the agenda is to consider Miller County's Board of Equalization and Grand County's Board of Equalization request for extension of time for a county board of equalization to make a decision on appeal. This is an action item. I recognize Commissioner Cragen.
Thank you. The commission has received written requests from the Millard County Board of Equalization and the Grand County Board of Equalization to extend the time period set by Utah Code Annotated 59-2-104 sub 7 sub C to make a decision on appeals received by the application dead time, which is set in Utah Code Annotated 59-2-1004 sub 3 sub A. The boards explain that they are unable to process within 60 days following the board's receipt of the taxpayer's application due to the large number of 2023 appeals received. The Millard County Board asked the commission to extend the time period for making a decision on appeals it received by September 15th, 2023 to November 22nd, 2023. The Grand County Board asked the commission to extend the time period for making a decision on appeals it received by September 15th, 2023 to December 5th, 2023. With that explanation, I'm prepared to make a motion.
Let's ask you, is there any questions from the commissioners of Commissioner Cragen on the explanations given? Seeing none, I'll go ahead and recognize Commissioner Cragen for a motion.
Thank you. I move to approve Millard County Board of Equalization's request to extend the time period for making a decision on appeals it received by September 15th, 2023 to November 22nd, 2023, and the Graham County Board of Equalization's request to extend the time period for making a decision on appeals it received by September 15th, 2023 to December 5th, 2023.
Thank you. Motion's in order. Debate on the motion. Hearing none, I'll place the motion. Roll call vote. Commissioner Cragen.
Aye.
Commissioner Rockwell.
Aye.
Commissioner Freskas.
Aye.
Commissioner Valentine votes aye. Motion passes unanimously. The requests are approved. And the commissioner will, the chairman will notify the two boards who have requested the extension. We also understand that we received an extension yesterday, which was too late for this particular meeting to meet the requirements of the Open Meetings Act. Shante, can you tell us what county it was that... Salt Lake County. Salt Lake County apparently has also requested an extension. We'll have to try to work that into either a special commission meeting or a regular commission meeting, whenever we can fit that in. We're required under the Open Meetings Act to give 24 hours notice. Commissioner Cragen.
I just note that our next commission meeting is scheduled for November 9th, which is before the 60-day deadline. So we would have time to take action before the deadline expires.
Thank you for that observation. I think that's important to know. So we'll go ahead and schedule that for next meeting. If Salt Lake County makes inquiries, Shante, on that, if you would just tell them to schedule for the next meeting.
It might be nice, Josh Nielsen, if you could let other counties know that it would be good to have their request before November 9th so that we can take action then before their deadline expires. We can always do retroactive approvals, but it's better to do them in advance.
Sounds good. We did send out a request a couple weeks ago, just notifying them to remind them that if they needed this request, to send it to us as quickly as possible.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. I'll move to the next item on the agenda. Next item on the agenda is approved submission of proposed rule amendments to the Office of Administrative Rules for publication in the Utah State Bulletin. And there are two of these. First is R884-24P-53, Guides for Valuation of Land Subject to Farmland Assessment Act pursuant to Utah Code Section 592515. And the second one is There's only one. Thank you very much. And so I'll recognize Commissioner Rockwell for that particular item.
Thank you. The following proposed rule amendments are for the commission to consider and submit for publication to the Office of Administrative Rules. The amended rules will be published in the Utah State Bulletin on November 1st, 2023, and the mandatory public comment period will end on December 1st, 2023. Our rule today is R884-24P-53, 2024 Guides for Valuation of Land Subject to the Farmland Assessment Act, pursuant to Utah Code Annotated Section 592.515. This rule authorizes the State Tax Commission to make rules necessary to effectuate the Farmland Assessment Act. Section 592.514 creates the State Farmland Advisory Committee and requires a person appointed by the commission to serve as chair. Currently, that person is Commissioner Freskas. This committee reviews several classifications of land and agricultural use in the various areas of the state and recommends a range of values for each of the classifications based upon productive capabilities of the land when devoted to agricultural uses. The recommendations are then submitted to the commission for approval and publication in rule. This proposed rule represents the committee's recommendations.
Thank you. Any questions of Commissioner Rockwell on this proposed rule?
I don't have questions, but I did have a couple of comments, if that's okay.
Yes, please.
I just wanted to note that we held the annual Farmland Committee meeting on September 14th this year. I wanted to thank all of those who attended the meeting, as well as all of those who are on the committee. I also want to recognize all the hard work that Rob Lee and Professor Ryan Larson from the Utah State University do on this report every year. We really appreciate the thorough research that they put into the report. And another thank you to those in our property tax division who review the report each year prior to finalization. Brady Kelsey and Josh Nielsen, I know you've both been involved in that for quite some time. So again, I appreciate all the participation, and we also appreciate the input from the farming community that we get.
Thank you, Commissioner. I also attended the meeting this year, which was in the 9 years I've been here, the first time I attended. I was really impressed with the thoroughness of the presentations given by Utah State University. So thank you. Any further comments before we go to motion? Recognize Commissioner Rockwell for motion.
Thank you. I move to submit the proposed amendments to R884, 24P53, 2024 guides for valuation of land subject to the Farmland Assessment Act pursuant to Utah Code Annotated Section 592.515 to the Office of Administrative Rules for publication in the Utah State Bulletin.
Thank you. Motion's in order. Debate on the motion. Hearing no debate, I'll place the motion. Roll call vote. Commissioner Cragen.
Aye.
Commissioner Rockwell.
Aye.
Commissioner Freskus.
Aye.
Commissioner Valentine votes aye. Motion passes unanimously. This rule will be submitted for publication in accordance with the motion. Next item on the agenda is the public hearing on the customer service motor vehicle proposed fee changes. The Utah Tax Commission customer service functional area is proposing the following changes to plate fees effective January 1st, 2024. Now, I need to ask our staff, and Heidi, you need to ask this question. Can you make certain that these are within the range that have been previously approved by the legislature?
Yes, they are.
Okay. Who's making that comment?
Mike Lee.
Okay. Mike Lee has made the representation that these are within the range of the statutory authority for the tax commission. So I'll go ahead and read those now. Standard and group plates from $7 to $10.50. Personalized, including personalized special group plates from $7 to $13. Motorcycle from $7 to $6. Personalized motorcycle from $7 to $8. Off-highway from $4 to, which will remain at $4. Trailer plate from $7 will be reduced to $6.50. Personalized trailer plate from $7 will be increased to $8. These proposals are to facilitate each plate type covering the cost of producing the plate. In addition, there have been significant costs for UCI, for Utah Correctional Industries. This is open to a public comment. So is there anyone from the public that wishes to make comment on these proposed rule changes, on these proposed rate changes? I hear none. Commissioner Cragen, I recognize you for a motion.
Now that I've unmuted, I will move to close the public hearing.
Thank you. Motion is to close the public hearing. Those in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Motion passed unanimously. The public hearing on the rate adjustments is now closed. I need a help to know whether we need to take a motion to approve this as a commission, because it's be a is it because it needs to have final action.
I think we decided that we do not need to take action because we already have the legislative authority. The statute just requires that we take that we have a public hearing before we take the action.
Before we take the action, that's what I'm
Excuse
confused.
Me. I'm sorry, before the division raises the fee.
I have it. Thank you. That's what I wanted to get onto the record. That was my understanding as well, but I wanted to make certain that we had that on the record. Next item on the agenda is to consider publication revisions. There is a publication that we're revising. It's publication 58, Utah Interest and Penalties. Any public comment on that proposed publication revision? Hearing none, move to the next item on the agenda. Next item on the agenda is commissioner reports. And so now we have any commissioner reports from any of our commissioners.
Mr. Chairman, if I may.
Yes, please. Commissioner Cragen.
I was able to participate yesterday in the Office of the Attorney General's annual continuing legal education seminar. Just report that it was interesting as always. I particularly appreciated the information that we received from people who represent themselves as sovereign citizens. It's good to understand the history behind those arguments and also to get some tips on how to respond to those in a judicial setting or in an adjudicative setting. And then, you know, of course, they always give their criminal law and civil law updates, and those are always interesting. So I appreciated the Attorney General's office making that available to us.
Thank you very much.
And I concur with Commissioner Cragen's comments on those same issues. The presentation on sovereign citizens was excellent.
I wish I could have heard it. Unfortunately, I was in legislative meetings yesterday.
It was recorded, so it will be available, but you'll have to go through the application process to get CLE credit for it.
Okay. Thank you very much, Commissioner Cragen, for that.
We might want to make it available to our administrative law judges as well.
I'm thinking that same thing. Any other questions or any other reports from commissioners?
If I can, I would just like to say that Commissioner Cragen and I both were able to go to the National States Tax Judge Conference this year. It's always very informative. It lets us know kind of what issues are before different states. Sometimes that lets us know what's headed our way. They had some great speakers this year. It's always jam-packed. It was very full of information. And I appreciated Commissioner Cragen sending a lot of those case studies to all of our ALJs. Anyway, it was a good experience, and I appreciated being able to go.
Thank you. I also enjoyed going through those that case list that Commissioner Cragen gave us. Thank you so much.
I was quite surprised to see that other states have the same issues that we are dealing with currently pending before their Supreme Courts, similar to the access interruption case that's currently waiting for a decision from the Supreme Court. So it's nice to know that everybody's dealing with the same kinds of issues.
That's very helpful. Anything else from the other commissioners? Let me give a quick report about the Western States meeting that I attended this last week, the WSSADA meetings. There was several very, very good presentations, but two takeaways that I had. One was dealing with electronic vehicle charging stations, and the other one was dealing with fraud. Both of those had significant presentations that I was very impressed with. They got some information on vehicle charging stations. Apparently, many of the states are now starting to look at the same kind of models that we are looking at for those additional charges. And dealing with the issue of either free or charges that are bought on a contract basis. States are moving more towards the Iowa model, which is the same as what we have, which is based upon kilowatt hour delivered, which means that if the vendor does not collect the tax from this customer or her customer, then the vendor must pay the tax because it's an excise tax similar to a gasoline tax. So I'm finding that to be something that is moving throughout the states on that particular issue. On the fraud issue, something I found particularly interesting is the general consensus among all of the states that were participating in that particular part of the meeting was that your policymakers need to make a decision of how much fraud they're willing to tolerate. if they have a high tolerance for fraud, in other words, they could have as much as Washington State's, which was one third of their EITC, excuse me, Oregon's, which was one third of their EITC, then you can have even EITC refundable credits for ITINs. However, if you have lesser tolerance for fraud and you want to protect the Treasury and not give the funds to those who are not entitled to it, you need to develop other methods. The discussion regarding using W-2 income as the base for an EITC was discussed. In that one, most of the consensus was there will be some level of fraud, but that may be a tolerable level. The range in between is somewhat scary. And so we can spend significant amount of time. If you want to, I can give you more information. But I thought it was pretty interesting to see how many states are really concerned about that, because the fraud levels are pretty high. The IRS's Taxpayer Inspector General's Office reported that the federal EITC has a range of fraud or misuse of between 23 to 30% of all EITC claims. As a note, the Internal Revenue Service has suspended making any refunds under the employee retirement credit. And while they're trying to determine how to capture the frauds in that particular refundable credit. So it's an ongoing battle to determine that the right people get the refunds rather than the wrong people get the refunds. And that was a major issue that was discussed. Mike Lee attended the meeting with me as well and had other perspectives. And I invite you now, Mike, if you'd like to make any kind of comments about what you learned at WSSADA.
Sure. Yeah, just good discussions about collections. I attended all the collection breakouts. And really the things that stood out to me there were the different ways the states were assessing the risk of their collections. And so we already have a fairly sophisticated model to assess the risk of our collections, but it was good to get a different perspective. And I came away from that with just a couple of things that we can tweak to better assess the risk of our delinquent collections.
Thank you. It was a very, very well-attended conference. It was a new record for WSSADA. I think they ended up with like 251 registered participants, which broke last year's record of 242. So WSSADA has been very actively attended this last year. They had a good venue, and we didn't end up in the conference hotel because it was right next to a casino. So we ended up at a conference hotel. It was a little bit farther away, but it was a nice walk every morning to get there. So it worked out just fine. I don't have anything further. I'm going to recognize our executive director if there's nothing else from the commissioners. I'll recognize the next item on the agenda was the executive director's report.
I don't have anything. Just one correction. The credit that the IRS is installed on is the employee retention rather than the employee retirement.
I'm sorry. Did I say retirement? It is retention. Yes, it is the employee retention credit that is being put, that has been put on hold. Thank you for that correction.
Mr. Smith, could you talk about next Thursday morning's event?
Next Thursday morning is our employee recognition breakfast, where the commissioners and executive staff prepare breakfast for all of the employees. Last year we had Governor Cox come down. He was very impressed with the celebration and. He's big on recognizing employees for everything they do. Kind of interesting that I was at a conference a couple months ago and listened to a presentation and by McKinsey and Company, who is a national consulting firm, and they have done a survey of all of the states and the services they provide. And that survey, one of the findings of the survey is that the two most important drivers of how employee or how citizens view government service. So again, it's not what they feel is the most important service, but the one where they feel customer service is the most important is number one, motor vehicle, and number two, tax, which both happen to be in our agents. So we really are the driver of how citizens view the service that that we provide. And we have great employees, and so I just thank all of them for everything they do.
In that vein, would you like to share with the commission today what you're doing at lunch?
Yes. Today is the Governor's Award of Excellence Banquet, and the honoree for the Tax Commission is Nick Kaczynski. I think I pronounced that. He works for Jason in our who is the our legislative person. Nick is responsible for training the counties on using computer software in order to better their assessments, and he's done an excellent job. Every conference I go to, or every time I meet someone from the counties, I can't get away from them because they're telling me what a great job that Nick does. So we're really appreciative for Nick.
Thank you. I thought that was worthy of having that recognition in this meeting as well. Okay, is there anything else that needs to be brought before the commission? If not, I recognize Commissioner Freskas for a motion.
Everybody's favorite motion. I motion to adjourn.
Thank you. Motion adjourns in order, non-debatable. Those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. We're adjourned. Thank you all very much for coming.
Thanks, everybody.